on social media, Instagram and Facebook. A scooby doo down, 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 down. A social media where people go to interact with the things they like, and sometimes the humor they're friends.
So, how about that mullet?
There's a lot to unpack in this show.
Oh, there's so much. I had like 2 pages of notes, at least.
Jaime y Esteban van un programa, ellos van un programa que nunca han visto, ellos van un programa que nunca han visto.
Welcome everybody to Jim and Steve Watch a Show, Season 4, Episode 1. And in this episode, we're going to take a look at Pedro L. Escamoso. My name is Jim.
And my name is Steve.
Steve, would you like to tell everybody what our podcast is all about?
Absolutely. So every week we go to the streaming universe. We find a show that either you have never heard of or overlooked for one reason or another. We watch the first episode, give it a review, and then decide whether or not we would watch the entire first season.
Right. And again, we're taking a look at Pedro L. Escamoso today. We'd like to begin our show with some basic background information about the series. So, Steve, what did you find out?
El Pedro Escamoso is on Netflix. It is one season, but it's over a period from April 19th of 2001 to February 23rd of 2003. So it's one season over almost 2 years. Okay. It's 327 episodes, yeah, which is a lot. I think this is the longest show we've had so far.
Yes.
Each episode is about 45 minutes, and it is a Colombian soap opera.
It is mind-blowing how much content that is.
Well, and I was thinking, it's so hard today because watching one episode is less than 1/3 of 1% of the entire show. So you're trying to review a show based on 1/3 of a percent.
Wow, we really have our work cut out for us then.
Well, we do. We do.
This time. And speaking of which, the summary challenge is going to be pretty difficult. And
it is.
I think you're up first, right?
I am.
All right. So in our summary challenge, we like to summarize the first episode of the series in about a minute or less, although I think you're going to bump up against that time limit potentially.
Agreed.
So, want to give it your best go?
Okay.
All right.
So the main character in this is Pedro Corral. He is from a small village in Colombia. I don't think they ever say the name of the village. He has to leave the village for the big city of Bogota because he's being pursued by men and dogs for what apparently was some sort of a romantic relationship gone wrong, but they don't get into it a whole lot. So he goes to Bogota, and I wasn't even really clear on how he kind of got in, but he goes to this house, says that he is a relation, though I don't think that's actually true. The woman of the house clearly takes a shine to him immediately, invites him in, even though she's married. He then meets her two daughters that he is equally attracted to. He then has kind of a passing interaction with a fourth woman that he's also attracted to. Then the husband comes home, pulls him aside, says he's glad that he came here because now he needs to take care of the family. He kills himself. There's a funeral. There's a lot of conflict. And at the end of the whole thing, it seems like Pedro is now living in the house with the widow and the two daughters, but he likes the other woman that he had the passing interaction with. And that's kind of it, but it's a lot more than that.
Oh my gosh. It's making me anxious just thinking about now having all this stuff. Oh my God.
Oh, I was like, I really wish Jim was going first because there's a lot happening here.
So much. That was really, really good. I'm just going to see if I have any blanks to fill in. You did a great job. So
it's like nothing but everything. Like there's just so much.
There's so much. All right. So again, so Pedro, it kind of starts The first part starts off with Pedro as a chauffeur.
Ooh, I forgot about that. Right.
And he's taking a woman to her wedding. We find out that's Paula. He seems to be romantically involved with her, drops her off at the wedding. And then we have this backstory flashback, like you said. Then he's escaping from his home country, and he moves to the city. And they're very clear in 1999 at 30 years old. And
right.
He's got a mullet and short shorts on top of that. And he seems to fall in love with just about everybody he sees. He sees Paula that we saw from the first scene, falls in love with her. Like you said, he ends up staying with what he calls a friend of a friend. And I think her name is Nydia.
And I think.
And then we also see Paula's backstory a little bit, which is, she has family problems. Dad was absent. So she was a daughter from an affair. And that actually turns out to be Paula's dad is Nydia's husband. Right. And then we found out Nydia has two other daughters, like you said. And then Pedro meets this guy, the dad. The dad kills himself. And then there's a funeral. And like you said, there's a lot of conflict at the funeral. And then right after the funeral, Nydia hits on Pedro. Pedro goes after her one daughter at the burial. Mom decides to kick the daughters out of the house. And then they find out that the husband left nothing to them in the will, and they left it all to Paula.
Way more detail than I had.
That's still not everything.
Yeah, but like, it's so funny. You don't really think about soap operas and how many things are happening at the same time until you try to review one.
Oh my God. There's so much. I was taking so many notes, and hopefully that gives the listeners an idea of what happened in that first episode. Very, 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 very dense. Lots of stuff going on.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to give us a congratulations on that.
You did way better than I did.
No.
Broad brush strokes.
All right. Okay. On to points of interest, clarification one might need in order to better enjoy this show.
So the first thing is the word Eskimoso. I was curious because I'd never heard that word before. I looked it up, and they said it's kind of a slang term that refers to someone who thinks they're all that.
Okay.
So it's like El Pedro definitely is full of himself in a lot of ways. And that's kind of why that's the name of the show.
Okay.
Outside of that, I guess I would say there's a lot of sexism in this show, just to be aware of. As you said, Pedro either falls in love with or is immediately romantically interested in every single female he sees.
Yes. Even
kind of regardless of age. Whether they're married or not, whether they're at a funeral, whether they just lost a parent, it doesn't really matter to Pedro.
Doesn't matter. He's he's immediately on the prowl, I guess. Yeah.
It's just really interesting because he has this inner dialogue going on throughout the show where like he meets the mom and he's like, oh, she's got nice curves and I can't wait to get more interested in her. And then he meets the two daughters. He's like, how can I have all three of them? And he just seamlessly from one scene to the next, just adding and adding and adding
without missing a beat. Yeah. Without
or any remorse or like thoughts of whether it's right or wrong. That's what he wants.
Yeah. And you're right. Doesn't even seem to know he's at a funeral
or care. Yeah.
Or care. Yeah. So I had really nothing, culturally, I guess, and then only understanding just kind of how soap operas work in general to see what you're getting into to add. All right, so positives and strengths of the show. What did you like about it?
It was definitely entertaining.
It was.
It's always so hard whenever you're not overly familiar with a certain culture to know what they're trying to play straight versus what they know is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they're playing it over the top.
Yeah.
And in a lot of Latin cultures, it seems like this is a pretty popular stereotype.
Yeah.
You kind of have this guy who thinks he's everything and he just lusts after all these women. So I want to believe that they're kind of playing it over the top, and it's a soap opera, which it also suggests that they are.
Yeah.
So I guess he's good at it, but like he's a good character for that stereotype.
You think they're kind of lampooning it a little bit?
I hope.
Yeah.
Because if every guy in Colombia is like this, that's a lot.
So maybe I kind of misspoke when I said maybe nothing culturally here. Maybe you would need some context in terms of kind of what the sense of humor is, maybe.
Well, just the fact that they call the show El Pedro Escamoso tells me that they're playing it for over the top funny. Right.
Yeah.
And the music would suggest that.
Yeah. I had that actually as a weakness or drawback.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like in the Korean shows where you think it's serious, but then there's like a xylophone.
Yes.
And you're kind of like, what's happening here?
Yeah. A lot of tonal shifts. For positives and strengths, I had, he's got a great mullet. I mean, that's really one of the highlights of the show. There's a lot of twists, and it was just kind of
Since Manara.
I was trying to think. Manara did not have a mullet, right? Or did he?
I thought it was kind of like an in-between haircut. Like, not full-on mullet, but he was growing it out, kind of.
Like a Mel Gibson or...
Yeah, like a Lethal Weapon.
Michael Keaton kind of...
Yep.
Thing, yeah.
Okay. Just a little bit in the back, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, not since Manara have we seen such great hair.
Beautiful hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, lots of twists and turns, and it was pretty fun. Now, weaknesses and drawbacks, we said some tonal shifts. The music is odd at times. The other thing I had in weaknesses and drawbacks was that sometimes I was confused with the timeline because it seemed like...
I was going to say the same thing.
It seems like the guy shot himself in the funeral was the same day almost. It was like kind of weird. Yeah,
right. It was interesting because he shoots himself presumably in the head.
Yeah.
Yet... they allow people at the funeral that was either the same day or the next day to open the casket.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm thinking, I'm not so sure you'd want to do that in that situation.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of weird time. And I thought, well, maybe they're just assuming you know that it can't happen that fast, but because it's a TV show, they're just kind of speeding it up. I hope, because I was like, maybe in Colombia things move really fast.
Yeah, I kept trying to think. I'm like, wait, is this the next day? Is this the same day? I couldn't tell. And there was like a weird thing too, where there's this weird aside. It was like, and now I'm wearing this dead man's clothes. He like raided the guy's closet to go to the funeral.
Yeah, like, oh, he's generally the same size. Like, sure.
Oh, so that was kind of bizarre too. And this is not the show's fault, but for weaknesses and drawbacks, I was kind of disappointed there was nothing supernatural. Like,
I know. I was hoping.
Me too. There are no werehorses or anything along those lines to sweeten the pot.
Well, and I think for me that the biggest drawback is just that I don't know that anybody would just be so accepted into a house.
Yeah.
So he has never met anybody else in this show before basically that day.
Right.
So he walks in, and within a half hour, the father kills himself. He's living there now. He's taking the dead guy's clothes.
Yep.
He's a pretty important part of like the funeral.
Yep.
He's consoling family members. He's at the will reading. I'm thinking,
yeah,
you know your freaking mailman better than you know this guy. And now he's just in. And I was like, it wouldn't happen here.
No, that's a really good point. Yeah. I mean, he's pretty much just a drifter that shows up and then is all of a sudden, I mean, it wouldn't be out of place for like an 80s sitcom, maybe.
Right.
but yeah, it seemed a little, yeah, you're right. That's a little odd.
It's odd in a more of a drama.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So would you watch all 315 episodes?
I gotta say no.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no as well. Would you watch a second episode?
Yes, but I suspect that would probably be the end for me. Like, I would want to get, like I said, I feel like we're reviewing this on 1/3% of the entire show.
Yeah.
Maybe I should watch 2 or 3 episodes to say I at least saw 1% of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's more of this, and I suspect that it is, I don't know that I'd be on board.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I'd watch a second one, to be perfectly honest. I think I kind of got the gist of what this is.
And I was in my head doing a lot of comparisons with Elena's Ghost.
Yeah.
And I would be much more likely if you said, I got to pick one or the other, even forgetting about how many episodes there are, I would way more enjoy Elena's Ghost, I think.
Yeah, me too. And I guess it's just kind of the sci-fi geek in me where I'm like, if this had some supernatural element in it, that would sweeten the pot quite a bit for me.
What if the dad comes back as a ghost?
Yeah, see, now we're getting somewhere.
If he's gray or glowing and just kind of shows up sometimes.
Yeah, or at some point, there's some type of apocalyptic event, and now it's Pedro in the post-apocalyptic world. That I'm good with that.
Well, it is funny, though. One thing is we always joke about the giving of powers, like in The Neighbor.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened here.
Yes, it's true.
Pedro shows up, is not even, like, the dad's never met him before, but takes him into his den.
Yep.
And basically, I'm handing the keys to you,
and then
kills himself.
Yep.
With having never met this guy before, having no idea who he is.
Yeah, I don't know what that's
all. Gave it over.
We should have a very special episode where all of the shows where there's complete lack
bad
of
planning.
Yeah, responsibility and planning. We should put all those in one episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so how does this rank compared to other shows we've reviewed this season? This is the first one, so it is currently in the number one spot.
Number one.
Don't know how long it's going to last there, but it's currently number one.
Well, you never know until the next week, but I suspect by the end of the season, this will not be number one.
Probably. But hey, who knows? Stranger things have happened. All right. So now on to This Day in Nerd History, our first one of the season. So I'm excited to see what you've come up with. So what do you got?
So I'm going pretty deep on this one. It's got multiple kind of layers, so I'll walk us through it.
Awesome.
Have you ever heard of Mary Mallon?
Mary Mallon. I don't think so.
And I never had either, though you might know her by another name, Typhoid Mary.
That I've heard.
Okay. I've heard it, didn't really know a whole lot about it.
Same.
And so I started digging, because I'm like, this could be interesting.
Sure.
She is from Ireland, and she came to the United States around 1884. She got a job cooking for various wealthy families in the New York City area. What ended up happening is after she would cook for these families, they would just start getting sick.
Okay.
And so there was a health inspector that was put on the case, and he ultimately linked her to all of these different parties where people got sick. There ended up being a typhoid outbreak of like 3,000 people, and they figured out it was all her.
Oh, wow.
So she was just a carrier. She never actually got sick herself and didn't even know at first that she had any issues. And she had no idea because you leave a job and you don't worry about what happened last week. So she had no idea.
Okay.
The reason why I think this is interesting is they quarantined her. They put her in this hospital, but they never really told her why. So you come to America, you're from Ireland, you're just trying to work, and all of a sudden these authorities just grab you and they throw you into what was basically a hospital, and they're running tests on you and they're watching you and they're monitoring you, but they don't really tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
So finally they release her and they say, look, stop cooking for people.
Okay. Well,
she's in her head, you know, she's like, well, that's kind of my job.
Yeah.
I need to make money. And so she starts cooking for people again. Another link of like outbreaks occur and they grab her again and they keep her there for the rest of her life.
Oh, you're kidding.
It wasn't until it seemed like almost the end of her life that they ever really explained to her that she was a carrier.
Okay.
And that's why you can't cook for people. But they just kept her until she died.
Oh, man.
And I think about, like, in real life, I don't think that authorities and medical institutions are evil, but a lot of times in movies, you see this.
Yeah.
Where something happens and they put a dome over the town and they round you all up and throw you into a camp. Yeah. And so sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's sci-fi, sometimes it's drama.
Yeah.
But here it actually happened. Here's this young girl who didn't really know what was going on, and they just kind of ruined her life. And I think if they had just pulled her aside and really explained it the first time,
right,
and maybe help her get a job where she couldn't infect anybody, I think everything would have been fine. But they just used her like a guinea pig and just said, stop cooking, and then kicked her back out on the street. And then whenever she didn't do it, they incarcerated her.
So what was it about cooking? Was it that she was like touching the food and prepping the food? Is that?
It sounds like there wasn't nearly as much hand washing in the 1860s as there is now for food prep. And, you know, like you blow your nose, you go to the bathroom, and like if you're not cleaning your hands well enough and then you're handling food, it's getting in there.
I was just trying to think, like, would there have been anything that she could have done where she couldn't have? I mean, that's a really interesting question. It's like, I don't know what the, like, what would the procedure be? So you have, like, what would happen, like, with that now? Like, what if there's some really infectious disease? Like, do they have the power to sort of, like, isolate you like that?
And you wonder, and I kind of thought about that going back to COVID. Remember, whenever it very first started, that's kind of what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, if you came into the country and you had symptoms, they threw you in the hospital and quarantined you. Now, they didn't keep you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But you were quarantined while they figured things out.
That does happen in sci-fi movies a lot. Because I think about, like, isn't there a scene in E.T. like that? Where, like, the government shows up and they take E.T.
They tent his house and they have, like, these tunnels going to different places.
That freaked me out.
And, you know, like, movies like Outbreak and Resident Evil and, you know, The Simpsons for different reasons. But, like, they just take you.
12 Monkeys? Was there something like
that? I believe so in that as well. And like, you watch those and you think, I don't know if that would really happen, but to poor Mary, it happened.
Wow. And that's weird, because you'd be asymptomatic carrier. You would think there would be more. So that was just one they were able to pinpoint. I mean, there had to have been like multiple people that were asymptomatic carriers of that, right?
Well, and you would certainly think so across the world. Like, yeah, but maybe not all of them handled food prep.
What a horrible career decision.
Yeah, it's like if you had been a house cleaner, you'd have been fine because you're cleaning.
Under no fault of her own, though. And that's the kick in the pants, right?
Well, and that's the sad part about it, is I just feel like if someone would have just explained it to her and said, here are five other careers you could do with your education and skill set, she probably would have said, okay, cool, now I get it. But it's like no one ever really sat her down to explain it.
Well, I wonder if you think, like, if you took the average person and said, look, you've got this very communicable disease. You're not infected by it or affected by it, but you can very easily affect other people. Now we need you to be careful. Like, how many people would do well
doing it?
I'm curious. Like, I'm trying to see both sides of it, because probably from their side, they're like, well, this person probably won't be able to self-monitor themselves.
Right.
And so we're doing it for a public good. And then I think all of us would like to think, like, if that was me, well, I would probably try to be pretty careful about it. But
I thought about that too. Like, have you ever try to not get a cold, and you do like you do everything you can to not get it, but then once you get it, like, screw it, and now you're just walking through the grocery store because you're like, well, I'm sick now.
No, that's kind of, there is some kind of a weird switch with that happens, because I'm usually really pretty careful about, you know, trying not to get sick, but when you're sick, you just sort of go, I guess I'm
whatever.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's an interesting one. And you're right. It's got some good connections to, like, films and movies and how it's portrayed. And
the reason, I'm sorry, the reason why I picked it is on March 27th of 1924, is whenever she was permanently quarantined.
Hmm. Wow. So what did she do?
She's like, there's pictures of her just sitting in a bed. It just looks like they gave her a hospital room and that was the end of her life.
Well, that's awful.
And it sounded like she came to America alone. So it wasn't like she had family to visit her. She never got married, never had kids. So she just sat alone in a hospital bed, quarantined for the rest of her life.
That sucks.
Yeah. And again, I'm like, if somebody would have had the compassion to just explain to her the situation, it'd be like, you could be a cab driver. Yeah. Like, I mean, you could ride horses, you could deliver mail, you could sweep the walk, but not food.
Yeah. You would think they would at least give her something to do at the hospital as opposed to just being in bed.
Right. But like, not based on what I found. They're just like, well, here's your life. Enjoy it.
Oh my gosh.
Hope she likes reading.
Yeah. Right. I'm sorry. I mean, I probably shouldn't laugh at that, but I'm just trying to imagine, like, you know, life could be so weird and some people could just get some really bad luck. And that just sounds like really bad luck.
And that's why I found it so interesting. And not only that, but like, she gets forever labeled as being Typhoid Mary. Like, she didn't ask for that.
That's not a very good nickname. I mean, it sounds like there's some intention on your part to do harm.
And I don't think, based on everything I read, I don't think she ever even had any idea she was doing this.
Wow. Yeah. Jeez, she really got the short straw there.
Yeah. Right? It wasn't like it was a glamorous job either. You're cooking for rich people.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, just be thankful.
Yes. Exactly.
Whenever things are
no time for it in here.
That's right. Well, thanks for that. That was a really interesting one. Good one to start off our first episode of season 4. So join us next time as we take a look at another show from the streaming universe. And until then, I am Jim.
And I am Steve. Thank you.
Jaime y Esteban ven un programa, ellos ven un programa que nunca han visto, ellos ven un programa que nunca han visto.